Well, continuing in the Gospel of Luke, we've been following through the Gospel of Luke as we started this book a couple of weeks ago, and we're in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and we're at the story of the birth of Jesus, which is good timing, I guess, but as we consider this story, we find at the beginning, it says this: "It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city." This is an historical fact, a note that tells us about a particular person who's called Caesar Augustus. Now, the Bible is not dealing with fairy tales. The Bible deals with real history, real people, and in real time. And when we look at this story, we find that Caesar Augustus, his real name was Gaius Octavius. He was the adopted son of Julius Caesar. You heard of Julius Caesar. I guess everybody's heard of Julius Caesar, right? And Octavius became became the emperor, and with it the title of his position, Caesar. He should have been known as Octavius Caesar. However, Octavius had quite an ego. He was very proud and arrogant, and he wanted to be greater than any other Caesar before him. And so with the approval of the Roman Senate, he dropped his name Octavius and added the title Augustus. Augustus means majesty. It's a name of divinity. It carries the idea of being a god. So Caesar Augustus means Caesar God. That's quite a title for a guy to take on himself. And he was an arrogant person, and he would make decrees, and whatever he said, everybody had to do. And on pain of, if you didn't do it, you'd be in huge trouble really fast. And so in this story, we have Caesar making a decision to have the whole world registered. Now, the whole world was the whole Roman Empire, which was a huge empire at that time. And Israel, of course, was under the dominion of the Roman Empire. And you might be saying, why am I giving you a history lesson? How many people liked history in school? Am I the only one? Oh, yeah, there's three people, right? Okay, I hope I didn't lose you yet. Because I want you to know something this morning. Out of this message this morning, what I want you to know is God is in control. I want you to grasp that and take it deep into your souls. God is in control. No matter how chaotic things seem to be out there or in here or wherever it is, God is in control. Because here's a guy who claims to be God. That's what this Caesar did. And he makes this decree, and he says, I want everybody to go back to their roots, to where their ancestors were from, and then I want them to be registered because I want to put a new tax on them. Now, the Romans were good at taxing people. Not like around here today. There's hardly anybody has to pay taxes anymore, right? The Romans were very good at taxing people. And they would tax people almost to the point where they would be starving. And when Caesar Augustus gets a new tax on, this isn't like, oh my, we're getting taxed for the first time. This is taxes upon taxes and upon taxes. And he makes this decree that everybody has to get registered in their hometown, where they're originally from. And that caused a great disturbance throughout the Roman Empire. Because everybody had to start picking up and going back to the towns where they were originally from to get registered. You can imagine the upheaval of the entire Roman Empire, because what if you moved 500 or 600 miles away and they didn't have planes, trains, or automobiles, right? It was all hoofing it or horseback or boat. And so the whole of the Roman Empire was put in a complete disarray by this wicked emperor, but God is in control. God is in control. Joseph and Mary were living in Nazareth. That's the town that they were from. But their ancestry was from Bethlehem. And so that left them when this decree happens, all of a sudden, and when they made it, once the message got through, you went. They had to move. They had to go to Bethlehem to get this registry done. And there was no, well, maybe we'll stay home. You went. And so here they are. They've had this extraordinary, incredible event happen to them we talked about last week. The fact that Mary was divinely made pregnant by the Son of by the power of God to bring the Son of God into the world, and that Joseph had to have an angel appear to him to reassure him, Joseph, it's okay. This is supernatural. Mary didn't fool around. This is for real. And so here they are. This baby begins to develop in their womb. Can you imagine the wonderment of this couple as they thought about this? As they wondered, what is going to happen? The Messiah, the promised one, the Savior, is going to be born. What's God going to do? How's it going to happen? Now, I don't know about you, but I would have some imagination. I probably would. I'd be thinking, you know, where's the baby going to be born? And how's he going to grow up? Is he going to rule the world? Because remember, the Israelites believed when the Messiah would come, he would come and he would be all powerful and he would squash all the enemies and he would make the Israelites powerful and set up thrones and kingdoms. That's what they believed was going to happen. So here's Mary and Joseph wondering as they're living in the backwoods town of Nazareth. And Nazareth was really a backwoods town. It was the byword about Nazareth was this: can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's the kind of town it was. It was the kind of town that everybody said, can anything good come out of that place? That's what people said. And we know that because it says it in the Bible. That's what someone said about Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? So here's Joseph and Mary, babies growing in the womb. Things are getting a little bit closer. And suddenly this decree comes down the pipe. Joseph, you know, I'm getting close here. We got no choice, Mary. Your lineage is in David from Bethlehem, and so is mine. We got to go. Now, when you find Joseph and Mary a little bit later on after the baby was born, they were supposed to go to the temple and do a sacrifice, and they were supposed to bring a lamb. But if you were dirt poor, you could bring two turtle doves. They brought turtle doves. So do you think they had a donkey? They had nothing. They were dirt poor. And that was a wonder in itself, because Mary had said, she magnified the Lord that he would have regard to such a low handmaiden as herself. Because the other kind of wrong thinking that the Jews had at that time was, if you had lots of money, that meant God was blessing you and you were in God's favor. If you didn't have much money, then you were, you know, it meant that God wasn't blessing you. You were on the outs with God. There's still some preachers that talk about that kind of foolishness today. It's not true. It's not true at all. And yet, so here they were, dirt poor, and, you know, we had the lovely pictures of Mary on a donkey riding to Bethlehem. How far is it from Nazareth to Bethlehem? Anybody know? 80 miles. My place to Sydney. That doesn't seem very far, does it? A little different. If you're walking and you're 9 months pregnant, wouldn't you say? Now, maybe they did get a lend of a donkey, but it doesn't tell us there was any donkey, okay? Lots of myths around the Christmas story. But they made it. They finally got there. And what I want you to see here is that God is in control. Joseph and Mary must have wondered, why are we having to go at this time? This is the divine child. This is the Messiah. What's happening? Why are we having to move at this point? But they went. And when they got there, we discovered they went up. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Now, the Bible tells us this: when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. This is in Galatians. Or the NLT says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. Just at the right time, God is in control. God saw the desperateness of the human race, and he planned to send a Savior, but it was at just the right time. This was the right time. This was the time God had decided on. He's in control. As chaotic as circumstances were, as devastating as it was, even in Israel at that time, with the Romans trampling them downward and bleeding them dry from taxes and everything else, and you know the common saying you hear, you're still here today, what's the world coming to, right? And I'm sure you said that not long ago, as you see some other crazy thing happening in our world. What's the world coming to? And many people would have said, gee, it's not a good time for babies to be born. Not with all this stuff going on. And you know, I've actually heard people say, I'm glad my children are grown up now. I don't want to bring them up in this kind of a culture or environment. But people still have babies, don't they? And they still bring them up. And God is still in control. And he was in control then, and he had a plan. And it was at just the right time when the angel visited Mary. It was just the right time for this baby to be born. Not only was it just the right time, but it was the right place. Look what it says in Micah 5:2. This is hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Now notice this, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, just a small little town, yet out of you will come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. It was predicted hundreds of years before that the Christ child, the Messiah child, would be born in Bethlehem. So, here's Mary from Nazareth gets announced. You're going to have the Messiah, the Savior. But the Christ child had to be born in Bethlehem. So why didn't God tell Joseph and Mary, Joseph, Mary, send another angel down. Gabriel, get down there. Tell them. Tell them early so they can get there in lots of time. Baby has to be born in Bethlehem because that's what's I predicted. So get them on the way there, will you? But it didn't happen that way. Listen, in your life, things don't happen often the way you plan them. The best laid plans fall apart, don't they? And you think things are going just the way you want them to, just like Daniel was sharing earlier. And all of a sudden, everything blows apart. But God's in control. And he was in control. So how does God decide to move Joseph and Mary and the baby within their womb from Nazareth to Bethlehem? How does he decide to do that? What does he do? He upsets the entire Roman Empire to do it. He puts it in the head of Caesar Augustus, who thought he was God, to call a tax, to move everybody all over the Roman Empire, to move Joseph and Mary 80 miles from one place to the other. You might say, wow, that's an odd way to get stuff done. But what's that tell you and me? That tells you and me that God is in control of the entire planet. He's in control of the kings and the rulers of the world, wicked or good. He's still in control. All authority belongs to God. And that he can do whatever he chooses at any time in the history of the world. And it's him that moved Joseph and Mary by way of this tax, by way of this registration, from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the baby to be born exactly where it would be predicted. And that tells me God's in control. And it should tell you that when circumstances go awry, when it doesn't seem as anything is going in the right direction, God is still on the throne and he's still in control. And so the prophecy comes true. God moves Mary and Joseph all the way down there. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, we don't know how long they were in Bethlehem, but one thing for sure is that David had a ton of descendants. And so Bethlehem, though it was a little town, suddenly was packed with people who came to be registered. That's why there was no room in the inn. There was just crowded, jam-packed. There was no place for them to stay. And so they had no other option but to stay in a likely a cave. Stable was likely a cave. Generally, there's a lot of caves in that country, and that's likely where that stable would have been. Not the nice wooden barns, you see. But into this place they were. Now here's Joseph and Mary, who have moved to Bethlehem, and God, the angel, had told them this was the Messiah, the Savior, and they were dirt poor, and they were living in a cave, and the baby's due to be born. I don't know about you, but I might be thinking, what's happening here? Didn't the angel say that this was the Messiah? And here we are in a cave, on the side of a hill. We're dirt poor. What's going on here? Why is this? But God was in control. Have you ever said, what's going on here? Why is this happening to me? Why are these circumstances? It doesn't seem like God's in control, but he always is. Trust the Lord. And so what happens as they are there, she brings forth this baby. She wraps him in the swaddling clothes, which is what they did. They just wrapped the baby in these cloths. And she put him in a feed trough. That's what it says. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Get this working here. The angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Not a common occurrence. Okay? And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. This incredible announcement was given to the shepherds on the hillside. And you know, I've mentioned this before, the shepherds were considered to be, you know, the low end of the totem pole in social strata. They never had an opportunity to go to school because they lived with sheep. And because they lived with sheep, what do you think they smelled like? They smelled like sheep. And so they weren't so welcome into the halls of the rich and the famous. They were the outcasts, in a sense. And there they were, living out on the hills with their sheep, and suddenly these angels appear to them. Of all people, God chooses these lowly shepherds on a hillside and give the best news that could ever be given, that the Savior has been born into the world. And it tells us in this passage that it says, don't be afraid, for I'll bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to how many people? To all people. I want you to know this morning that that all includes you. Has the Christmas story just meant some mushy, gushy stuff about a baby in a manger? Has it just meant gifts and Santa and tinsel and everything else? Or can you actually say that this story brings great joy into your soul? I can venture to say this. If you don't understand the gospel, it never brought you great joy. It just was part of the story of you grew up with. But when you understand the gospel, and when it comes and your life is transformed, when you realize that this one who came to earth came to die for my sins, and because of the cross, I become a new person, I have a home in heaven, my sins are forgiven, the joy of the Lord has come into my life, and God is with me no matter what happens, then suddenly you understand it is great joy which will be to all people. And I can attest to this, God brings great joy. A greater joy than I ever found in a bottle or a toke, or a greater joy than just in my family, a greater joy than just about nature or whatever it is, legitimate or illegitimate, it cannot bring the joy of the Lord. That is a great joy, and it is the greatest joy of all. And I want you to know it's for all people. That means it's for you. It's offered to all people. For there is born, and notice what he says, for there is born to you this day. That's what he says. This was Mary and Joseph's baby. But he says, it was born to you this day is born a Savior. To you, he says to the shepherds. They never met Mary or Joseph. They weren't blood kin. They didn't know who they were. But suddenly, he says, no, this baby is not just for this family. This baby is for the world. He is the Savior for the world. He didn't die for our sins only, but he died for the sins of the whole world, it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. It is for you that the Savior came. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. It's to you. Oh, if you could grasp that today and take it into your heart and soul and realize Jesus came into the world for you. You. Ah, thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Thank you. And he told them the signs, the angel revealed to them what they would find, and then all of heaven just burst out. All of heaven just exploded with praise. A multitude of the heavenly host, a host means like an army of angels from heaven were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. And so the offering here is a Savior for us that brings to us praise to God, peace, and goodwill towards us. God is for the human race, not against it. He is sovereignly in control of all things, and he had everything appointed to happen exactly the way it did, but he did it for you, and he wants you to know that. Now, if we go back to Mary and Joseph, and there they are. They're in the stable. I'm sure they are very pleased to have this baby born. I'm sure they were excited. But I'm also sure they were still wondering, what's next? What's going to happen? How are we going to bring this baby up? This baby is divine. They knew it. The Jews had never understood that, even though the Bible said in the Old Testament that a virgin would bring forth a child. It actually was prophesied. But they didn't get that. They didn't understand that this was a divine child. But Jesus made it clear when he grew up and he began to teach them that he was divine, that he was God in the flesh. And so here they had God as a baby. What were they going to do? And yet they had not one word of confirmation. Not one word, except when the angel had announced to Joseph and to Mary at the beginning, there was nothing had gone on, no record of it, right up until now. The baby's born, and there they are in the stable. And so it says, when the angels had gone away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, they hurried, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They left their sheep. Shepherds don't leave their sheep. But this was more important than sheep. This was more important than anything else, was that they go and they see this baby. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I can't imagine what Mary and Joseph experienced when all of a sudden this crowd of shepherds showed up at the stable and told the story of what they had experienced. I can't imagine the joy they must have experienced. Suddenly, they realized, it's okay, we're on track. It's okay. It's okay, God is in control. We're right where God wanted us to be. God wanted us to be in the stable. God wanted us not to have any money right now. God wanted us to be poor in this situation right now. Now, later on, almost 2 years later, they got some divine provision from the wise men. The wise men never came to a stable. When you read the Bible carefully, you'll find it was almost 2 years later the wise men showed up at a house in Bethlehem. And it was a young child, no longer a baby. But people like to tell the Christmas story in one little package, so they kind of abbreviate it all up. And suddenly the kings are showing up at the stable. They never did. They showed up at just the right time too. Because they showed up with a provision, because King Herod was going to kill all the babies in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. And Mary and Joseph had to flee with the baby into Egypt. And they needed money. They needed provision. And the wise men showed up just before to give them the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, everything they needed to be able to move to Egypt and be carefully looked after. God's timing is always perfect. And here we see that so clearly. In the midst of circumstances that seemed to be rather devastating, God was affirming and revealing to them, I'm with you. And I did it, I revealed to shepherds on a hillside so they could come down to this stable so that they could reaffirm to you, Mary and Joseph, I'm in control. And not only that, that God was telling us that he comes to the poor, he comes to the meek, he comes to the lowly, and he pours out his blessing, and he is interested in coming to each one of your hearts, and he's interested in being involved in each one of our lives. And if we will trust him as our Lord and Savior, if we will accept him into our life, we will see the miraculous. We will see the timing of God again and again in our lives. And we will see it in the midst of devastation at times, in the midst of trouble at times, in the midst of circumstances where it seems as everything is going in the wrong direction, but all the while God is still in control. And we begin to understand that. And we understand that the important things, the real important things, relationship with God and relationship with people is what God's all about. The other stuff, it's not so important. It wasn't so important whether Mary and Joseph brought forth that child in some fancy hotel. It was God's plan that this baby would be born in the lowest place. Because when Jesus left heaven, he wasn't coming down to rule over people and look high and fancy and mighty. He was coming down to the lowest place. Because I'll tell you, the lowest place for God to come to is your heart and mine. We're pretty smelly stables ourselves. We've messed up pretty bad. If you understood how much sin stinks, you'd know what kind of a stable you are. And you'd know how much you need the Son of God to come in and make you a new person. And thank God that he's able to do that. But what I want to leave you with is that God's in control. And when you understand that, he is in control. Why not trust him then? Why not surrender to him? Why not let him have the control of your heart? Because he's in control of everything else. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And rejoice in this story that brings the Son of God into the world so that you can have a relationship with him for eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Christmas story. We thank you for the truths that are in it. And we pray, Lord, that you will reassure our hearts if we've trusted in you. And if we haven't, Lord, assure our hearts that we can trust you today. That we can be saved this very day. We can have all our sins forgiven today. What a Christmas gift God's offering to us. And we're thankful, Lord, that you're still in control. If there's earthquake, if there's fire, if there's flood, if there's cancer, if there's devastation, if there's good or if there's bad happening, whatever happens in all of the world, God, you are still in control, and you've called us to trust in you. And if we trust in you, then we will not be shaken, we will not be moved, we will be held onto in the midst of the storms no matter what happens. And we're thankful today for the great gospel, for the great Savior, and for the great provision that you have given to us. Oh Lord, bless your word to our hearts and bless our food and fellowship this morning. And we're so thankful to be able to celebrate Christmas together. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, sure, Daniel.
Can you
feel
over there?
Yes, sure, Daniel. Yeah, go on. Yeah, go on here.
Remember how I told you that when I went to housing, I got a list made. So anyway, when I ended up with the pastor's service, a couple of days later, he said, how did you get our number? And I said, well, the house gave me a list of names. And he said, we asked them to take our name off that list. He said, do you mind if I see it? I said, sure. So I took it to him. And right beside their name, which wasn't supposed to be on the list, it had SF, single female. He said, we told them, but we only wanted single females. And I crossed all the ones off. I thought I had, anyway. And I didn't cross that one off. It was the first one I called. And if he had had his name on the list, he would have had somebody there in September, because school starts in September. I was there in February. If schools hadn't been filled in Edmonton or Calgary, I would have went to Edmonton or Calgary. Because, I mean, I registered months in advance. But that just shows you how God wanted to be in Grand Prairie from Cape Breton at this Nazarene pastor's house who came from somewhere in the United States. Pretty amazing.
God's in control. He really is.